that alleluia, because Lent begins. We're not going to be saying the word, let alone singing it. And we'll start right after Easter, during Easter, too. Okay, I thought I'd explain myself over here. Everyone knows that one. What does this say? Should say the same thing, you know, in more or less. But who's my Spanish expert here? Anybody? Yes. Okay. I'll buy that. I thought this would mean fingers or something. Hand? Okay. Well, one of the things the church is trying to do is to get more people come into church. People aren't coming to church, if you haven't noticed. So what we're going to try to do is go out to them. And one of the non-threatening ways that people have been doing this, the cathedral started it, and we now have it at several other Episcopal churches and liturgical churches. It doesn't have to be Episcopal. Catholics are doing it, and Lutherans. But one of the things that we hope they will at least pique their curiosity or remember, yeah, I used to get ashes when I was going to church, or I'll be going to church later on in the afternoon or evening, and I'll be getting mine at St. Swithin's over there, and that's fine. But this is for those who don't make it to church at all or maybe work during those times that they're having a church service, and we are going to be giving ashes two places, one right outside the church over here during after the school, and Ronnie's going to be taking care of that station, we'll call it, over there, and I am going to be over at the trolley station, and Abe is going to be helping me over there. Anybody can give ashes. You don't have to be a clergy person to do that, so Abe is going to be helping me as well. Ashes, why do we give ashes? Because it's a sign of God's love for us, that he died for us. Transfiguration Sunday is a sign of God's love for us, that he was transfigured. He was made so bright that this scared the heck out of the disciples, and they couldn't look up at God, at Jesus. God works in various ways. We all know that. And so what we're going to be doing Ash Wednesday is just the tip of the iceberg. So if you get your ashes here at the church at 11 o'clock or 7 p.m., Eucharist and ashes, and you want to support the ministry at the trolley station, you could come to the trolley station and you could get ashes twice a day. Get 10 times a day if you want. But we would like you to go home eventually and let other people get their own ashes. So that's a bit about ashes and if multi-languages. But we did this at St. Luke's. Kathy and I were there last year and on corner of 30th and El Cajon. And people were tooting their horns, saying, hey, giving us high thumbs up like that. Hey, how you doing? How you doing? So all positive reactions on that. And I haven't heard of anybody. I'm sure there's some crazy person out there that would do something bad but or say something to us, but we didn't experience any of that. So it's a very positive sign from God that we're going to be doing it here at St. Andrew's in La Mesa. Okay, I think I did, said enough. So I was going to ask for volunteers to help me out in the evening after a 7 o'clock service, but it's too dark, and we're not going to be doing it in the evening time. It's just going to be the noontime. Ronnie will be out there, and I'll be at downtown La Mesa. But back in 1976, everybody around that time, except our birthday girls, weren't, the president of Mexico invited Mother Teresa to an open house. And they even built a house for her in Mexico City. The sisters who visited the homes in their area of these very poor people were surprised when, despite their poverty, these impoverished people did not ask for clothing, they didn't ask for medicine, or even food. They only said to the sisters, sisters, tell us about your God. Sisters, tell us about your God. Today is the last Sunday in the season of Epiphany. Our theme has been discovering God. The scriptures have shown us in many epiphanies during this season. We saw the star that led the Magi to Bethlehem so that they could see a real baby, and this baby was called the King of the Jews, the Messiah, and they weren't even Jewish. Then on the second Sunday, we had an epiphany of a dove that was a voice from heaven came as well. "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased," the voice said. Then we had the epiphany of God's people as his bride. On the fourth Sunday, we had the epiphany of joy, the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. And last Sunday, when the bishop was here, I'm sure he spoke about the Christian life being a life of love. Finally, today, we go up on a mountain to discover Christ in all his glory. And what that means to different people depends on your personality, I think. We are told that the occasion of the transfiguration of Christ probably took place on Mount Hermon, which rises to the elevation of 9,166 feet. And it's located in the area of Caesar Philippi. The story begins like this. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto the mountain to pray. And you might rightly ask, 8 days after saying what? This is most interesting. It was 8 days after Simon Peter had his own very significant epiphany. Remember, Jesus had asked the disciples, "Who are people saying that I am?" And Simon Peter immediately answered, "They're saying that you're the Messiah, the King of the Jews, God's Messiah." And Luke's telling of the story, Jesus immediately warned them not to tell anybody what happened. He said to them, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. Heads up, guys, here's what I'm going to be doing. And he must be killed, and on the third day, be raised to life." So they haven't heard this 101 times. It's probably 1,001 times Jesus has told this story to them, in one ear, out the other, when you're not literally listening. This in itself is epiphany that Jesus is spelling out for them. He's telling them that he must suffer and then be resurrected. This is followed by another epiphany as to what their life is going to be like after his resurrection. Then he said to them all, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it." What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very life? What does that mean? Then he concluded this section by saying, "Truly, I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the coming of God." Now, that's a very important chapter in the Bible where much is revealed, and in a sense, it is all leading up to this high moment here on Mount Hermon. But let's continue the story a little further. And after 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up on the mountain to pray. Don't you think it's significant that Christ himself felt the need from time to time to go off by himself or in the company of a few friends and pray? After all, he was Christ. Surely he was in constant communion with God, his Father. His thoughts and God's thoughts were one and the same. And yet, he felt the need for a time of prayer. Doesn't that say something to us about how we should spend our time? Lent's a good time to start doing that, folks, more consciously than ever. I know you pray when you come to church, but that's a given. There are other times we need to pray. And one of the times is by listening to a little song. It's a children's song. It was written by people that wrote The Sound of Music. It didn't make it to the play, The Sound of Music, for some people didn't like it. And you don't have to like everything they wrote, but one of the songwriters there said it was one of the most exhilarating experience he had while he was writing this simple song. And so he offered it to the rest of the people, and they said, we don't like this song. It's like that other song, that na-na-na-na, na-na-na-na. Don't have to sing that one. But who would like that song? It's still around. The song is a song, very simple, and I'm going to teach it to you this morning. It goes like this. A bell's not a bell till you ring it, and a song's not a song until you sing it. But love isn't love until you give it away, give it away, give it away. Love isn't love until you give it away, and that's what we're gonna do. That's what we're gonna do. That's what we're gonna see if you can sing along with that. Very simple. Love isn't love until you give it away. Give it away. Thank you. Give it away. Love isn't love until you give it away. And that's what we're gonna do. That's what we're gonna do. That's what we're gonna do. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll do one later. Hey, very good, very good. So, the song isn't a song until you sing it. Very true. And the message is, love isn't love until you give it away. You know what? I taught that to the kids at All Saints Preschool at Christmas time. And I said, what does that mean to you? And they said, it's Christmas time. We have to give love away. Ah, beautiful. Couldn't come better. Said any better. And I said, you know, the gifts that you're going to receive at Christmas time, they're from God. Really? Yeah, God's going to give you toys. He's going to give you clothes. He's going to give you a lot of stuff. Why? Because he loves you. Mom and Dad love you. And we love you. And that's why you're here at this preschool, because the teachers love you and people love you. And how are we going to give it away? You were given a gift. Now you have to give it away. And how are you going to give it away? Little Salvador says, I know, Father. I said, how's that? He said, I'm going to be nice to Mommy and Dad. Good start. Going to be nice to the people that gave you those gifts. And that means even when you don't feel like it, you're going to be nice to them? No. Being honest about it. Who feels like giving a gift when you don't feel like giving a gift or when you're not in a giving mood? But that's when you give it the most. And that's when it counts the most, is when, see, I didn't feel like doing that for that person, going out and giving them a hug or going out and giving them a call and say, hey, let's do lunch, Bob. And he said, yes. Wow. And, you know, people, when they're given love, they know how to accept it. And then when they get love, a lot of people don't know how to accept that. When you love somebody or send them a card that you haven't heard from a long time, a friend or someone that you used to write a card to or get a Christmas card from them, send it to them now. It isn't too late. I bet they're going to respond somehow, some way. Love isn't love until you give it away. It means that this season of Lent, look out, people, because, people at St. Andrew's are going to love you to death. You come through those doors, we're going to love you anyway. But even though you don't even come to church, we're going to give you an ash because we love you. And if you're not even speak English, speak Spanish, we got people in here that speak Spanish, don't we? And we're going to love them even if you don't speak our language. The songwriter said, is on purpose. It's not just, something bad's going to happen to you. Something's good going to happen to you. So be careful, be ready to accept this gift. I wonder if it's even possible to talk about the Transfiguration, about you have to know and experience what a gift of holiness is, of majesty. We don't really know that today in this world. We have reduced the gospel to a checkup from the head up. It's hard to talk about the glory, an emotional experience. God's majesty. When was the last time you experienced that? Jesus went off on the mountain and his disciples to pray. Even though he was God's son, Jesus needed to pray just as much as you and I need to pray every day. While he was praying, the appearance of his face changed. You're probably not going to change much. And his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, all of a sudden appeared in glorious splendor. Wow. They can't even replicate that in movies. They try. Finally, a cloud appears, and it covers them. And a voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." So that "listen to him" is going to come in various ways. I'm just alerting you. It could come from some birds that you're going to be hearing whenever you start your prayer. Or it might be coming from an airplane or from someone calling you to, "Hey, get in here. It's raining outside. You're going to get wet." God's telling me it's coming. I'm going to get wet. I'm choosing to be out here. God's talking to you in so many different languages and so many different ways that you have to be prepared. You have to be prepared for this epiphany, this God talking to you. A real voice? No, don't listen for the real voice. But a voice inside. You got to learn how to go deeper than just vocal and auditory. So I send you out today, this Lent, to listen to God more closely. As the sisters were asked, "Sisters, talk to us about God." I want you to listen to God talking to you all day, some places, even TV. I have to admit, someplace we saw a program the other day that really spoke to us. It was amazing. Out of a television set? Yeah, even out of a TV series. So, but are you going to be as wise as these poor people were in Mexico that said, "I know God when I see him, and those nuns over there are God"? They're living among us. They don't have to. They could be living in some beautiful suburb in La Mesa. But no, they've chosen to stay with us and to be God's presence in our midst. Are they wise? Can you be as wise as them? Can you see God in the poor? Can your giving gift be a little higher than it used to be? And that's the gift that Kathy and I give you. We went to a stewardship seminar at St. David's, and I had an epiphany experience, and I've been talking about it all the time, and I think I mentioned it last week, that when the offering is given, and you've given your pledge already to the church, and God bless you for doing that, and some people even give it a year at a time, or they give it a week at a time, or a month at a time, however you choose to do that, and then when they come to church, they don't have nothing to put in that basin. So I challenge you, as these people challenge you, put something in that basin. It could just be a couple cents, 2 cents. The widow's mite was something like 2 cents in our Lord's time. And the widow gave it, and God and Jesus turned around and said, "Wow, did you see what that lady gave?" She gave her all. And that's what God's looking for you, to give your all. It doesn't have to be money. You can write on the sheet of paper, "I'm going to be calling my neighbor, giving my neighbor some work, some prayers this week." And you don't have to even tell your neighbor. You're praying for your neighbor. Tell God. Put it in the basin. Let that basin, and I say, let your collection, ushers, the collection of joy and praise, please be taken up. So messages of joy can be put in that plate. Money is one way of giving us a joyful thing. We'll be able to pay the bills around here. And they need to be paid. Someone's got to pay them. Or just give it to God. So we'll collect the papers and say, "Okay, God." The Daughters of the King have volunteered to take those prayers that you can put in the plate. And they're going to actually pray for those people. Don't have to put your name on it. You can put their name on it. See, God knows what's in your heart. And so whatever you put on that piece of paper goes right directly to God. So that's our offering. We heard something really cool, and I pass it on to you that if you want to use it, fine. If you don't want to use it, that's fine too. That's up to you. But put something in that plate. Also, the people that are new to us, they're going to see the plate given, and instead of you saying, no, I don't want to give, and you've already given, they're going to say, those people didn't give. I don't have to give either. That's the way some people look at giving of the plate. They didn't give, they didn't give. Wow, nobody gives around here. I'm not going to give either. But if you put something in the plate, that's just symbol in itself, is a sacramental. It's not a sacrament. It's a holy thing that you are doing, putting something in that plate. It's an offering plate. So I offer that to you. Let us pray. Lord, we offer to you today something that is very private to us, our love. And as we give this love to you, Lord, help us also receive love from other people who are trying to give us love, but we say, no, I don't want your love. You're a poor person, or you don't go to my church, or you're not even Christian. Help me receive love from others, Lord, who might not think the same way as I do or believe the same way. And Lord, most of all, let those ashes be an outward and visible sign of how much you loved us. You died for me. You gave your life so that I might have life eternal. In Jesus' name we say, alleluia, alleluia. Keep shouting it. Keep saying it.